come around the Word of God right now, and before we do, why don't we just pray? Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just thank you for your Word. God, we thank you for how it speaks to us. God, we thank you for the power of your Word, God. We just pray that we would have open hearts ready to receive what you are speaking to us tonight through your Spirit, that you would move in our hearts, God, and change anything that needs to change within us, correct and realign anything that needs to be corrected and realigned in our hearts, God, as we seek to continue to serve and follow you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. Well, it's just going to be a short message. I've prepared about 53 minutes, so just a short one. That's a joke. It's not going to be that long, 52 minutes probably. I'm going to be sharing about the idea of the power of an invitation. Part of this is something that was shared a few weeks ago, but as we come into the Christmas season, this is actually one of the best times to invite someone along to church or to bring someone along to church. It's one of the best times to share about your faith. If you've ever prayed for an opportunity, God, give me an opportunity to share my faith. Hey, Christmas is one of the best times. There's opportunities everywhere. We know Jesus is the reason for the season. And in terms of what we're doing as a church, I think, Aiden, can you pass me that card there next to you? This is my son, Aiden. Give it up for him. We have these Christmas at Life You See cards. They were on the seats last week. There's some at the back at the Next Steps table, also at the info desk. And it just lets you know about the different things coming up. We have the Christmas worship special next Sunday night at 5 p.m. We also have a Christmas Eve service here Tuesday the 24th at 5 p.m. and a Christmas Day service at 9:30 a.m. And this is a great way to invite someone along to church. Grab one of these cards as you go and think about who you can invite. But if we take a step back from that and we think about the motivation as to why we would invite someone to church. For me, it's because Jesus has changed my life completely. The person that I was, the person that I should have been, is so different because of an encounter that I had with God and a life that I've tried my best to learn what it means to follow Jesus and to grow in his word and in his ways. And if we believe this, if we truly believe this, then we need to share this with everyone that we meet, everyone we have an opportunity to do that. Would you agree? Great. Jesus is the answer. And this is the time of year where people are open to hearing more about what Christmas really means. And we're at an interesting time culturally where there's a lot of hunger and desire to know about truth. There's so much confusion out there in the world as to what's real, what we should do. Jesus is the truth. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And this is a time where we can share this. And if anyone has ever tried before in the past and you've had some negative experiences, I want to encourage you to try again. We were singing this song before, Touch of Heaven. And I love one of the lines in it. Well, actually, it's the chorus. It's, all I want is to live within your love, be undone by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. It's our theme for next year, going deeper. Then it says, Lord, I will open up again. Throw my fears into the wind because I'm desperate for a touch of heaven. I encourage you, open up again. Throw your fears into the wind and be desperate for a touch of heaven for your life, but also for the people in your life that you care about. Because that's God's heart, is to for people to encounter him and his love and his truth and have their lives radically changed. If you want to turn in your Bibles, go to Mark 2. We're going to have a look at a quick story. We're going to have a little bit of fun tonight, okay? Is everyone cool with that? And be inspired. Dan's ready for fun. He's got the sleeves off. Sun's out, guns out for Dan over here. Mark 2, here we go, verses 1 to 12. It's a great story and there's so much we can take away from it. I just want to unpack a few thoughts around it. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, this was like a base for Jesus, a mission base, which he went and did a lot of things, always came back to this place. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even the outside door, while he was preaching God's word to them. Even outside the door, while he was preaching God's word to them. four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Here's a key part. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?'" Now, this is a key claim here from Jesus and the deity of Jesus. "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man," referring to himself, which is in Daniel, Jesus referred to himself as Son of Man, one of the most names that he gave himself. "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." How cool is this story? Like, imagine if you were there and the place is packed. Imagine this place is so packed and like a hole appears in the roof. It's a pretty high roof, so might not be too safe here. But a hole appears in the roof. Someone gets lowered on a mat. This whole thing happens between Jesus and the religious leaders. And then he gets up and is healed. And goes, like, how amazing would that be? There's like an electricity that happens when we share our faith, when we tell people about Jesus, when people encounter Jesus, there's life that happens. And that's for everybody to experience. It's not just something that's nice in the Bible that we can be encouraged by. It's there for us to experience as well. This is the power of an invitation. Actually, we finished changing this. The real name of this sermon, real title is this: The Power of a Bringvitation. Little play on words there. If you're an English teacher, I apologize. There's probably a few in the room. The power of a bringvitation. Sometimes it's an invitation. Hey, do you want to come to church? Other times it's a bringvitation. Hey, let's go to church. This is the power of a bringvitation. But how cool would it have been to be in that room and see that? How much cooler even for those guys who brought the paralyzed man and he was healed. How relieved whether they didn't have to carry him home. He could do it himself, take his own mat. This is an incredible story. I just want to pull four things out of it really quick. We're going to go through them quite quickly as to what this speaks to me and how we can apply this in terms of the power of a bringvitation. The first thing is that we have to see the need and feel the need. It's one thing to see it, it's another thing to feel it. We've got to see the need and feel the need. Now, we don't know the circumstances. The Bible doesn't go into the detail of this man's life, but it's probably safe to assume, and a lot of scholars do, that they probably knew this paralytic man, this paralyzed man. These four men most likely knew him, were friends, or potentially relatives. There's also the potential that this person wasn't always paralyzed, that maybe this is a condition that they found themselves in later in life and they were stuck. But in these days, if you were paralyzed, if you had an ailment, if you had maybe a loss of family members, you were very much just left to yourself. And there was a teaching around generosity and giving and helping, but basically you kind of had to fend for yourself. So what we can get from these four guys is that they saw this need in their friends or their relatives or this person's life, and they felt that need to the point of action. And we can be encouraged in this because so many times in the New Testament, just before Jesus heals someone, there's a line that precedes it where Jesus says he was moved with compassion. Compassion is so important in our lives. Compassion is so important if we're going to share our faith. This sense of, I've got the answer. Like, I know how to help this person. God's helped me through this in my life. How could he help? How could he help you? How could I share with you what God's done in me to help you in your life? We've got to see the need and feel the need. How do we apply that to ourselves? We can think about it in our own lives. Who in our lives needs Jesus? Who needs a bringvitation with a headlock? No, maybe not a headlock, but they may not be physically crippled, but maybe they're spiritually crippled. Maybe they're emotionally crippled. Often we can just be stuck in our situation and we need someone to come along and help. So we've got to see the need, we've got to feel the need. The second point is this. We need to work together and we need to share the burden. And this is what we see from this story with these four men. They work together. Now, I've got a little demonstration of something here, which should be a bit of fun. You thought the rug was just, if you could see the rug, there's a rug here. Maybe you thought this was just for the aesthetic, for the look, but it's actually for this moment. Well, I'm going to ask Scott if he can come up on stage. Give it up for Scott, because I'm going to be a person on a mat and I'm kind of stuck here. And Scott, I'm just wondering if you can take me over there. Yeah, bend your knees, don't hurt your back. I'm pretty heavy. Okay, so we've got a bit of movement. Do you think he could do that for like maybe 10 kilometers? It would take. Okay, let's get Mr. Bond out here. Michael James Bond. So this is what happens when we work together and we share the burden. Let's see how two people go. Oh, a lot more movement. But I'm dragging on the ground here. Let's maybe get Levi. You're a strapping young lad. Levi and Scott actually paid me to get them to do this so they could demonstrate their physical strength. I want to get off the ground, guys. Let's get off the ground. Don't hurt me, though. Okay, do you think you could do that for about 10K, 5, 10Ks? All right, I need one more volunteer. I'm looking across the crowd. I'm seeing Brian. Let's get Brian up here. Give it up for Brian. See, when we work together and we share the burden, we can achieve incredible things. Don't hurt your back, Brian. Here we go. Okay, can you walk me over to that? Give him a round of applause. Well, I want to go back to the other tree. Keep going. Other tree. That's that one. Okay, let's go back to that tree. Okay, I need to go back to that other tree real quick. Don't drag me. You got to pick me up. Now, let's just imagine that they had to do this for a long time. Give it up for these guys. Thanks, everyone. Let's just imagine they had to do that for quite a journey. It doesn't specify how long it is. But as you're walking along carrying someone, if you get tired, one person might get tired and be like, I can't do this, I'm out. The other three people are like, no, you got this. Come on, we can do this. And they're like, okay, let's do it. Then the next person's like, ah, my back's killing me. Okay, let's rotate, shuffle. You go here, I'll go here. I'll use my right hand this time, then I swap to the... You can actually achieve things if you work together. So often in sharing our faith, we think it's just us and we have to do it all ourselves. But if we'll actually share the burden with others and work together, we can encourage each other. We can, when it gets tough, when the person that we're reaching out to maybe doesn't respond as well, we can encourage each other and be there for each other. And we can achieve incredible things. And we see in this story that they bring this man to Jesus. You guys hearing what I'm saying here? Who's got a gym membership and they don't use it? My hand's up. Actually, just canceled it. Okay, who doesn't want to put their hand up but has that? Okay, don't worry about it. I saw Michael put his hand up. Now, if I was to call him each morning and say, Michael, let's go to the gym, I'll meet you there. He's more chance of actually going, right? I might not go, but if we work together and we tell each other what we're doing, what we're trying to achieve, we can actually help each other. And we see that through this story is that they worked together to share the burden of carrying this person to Jesus. Who in our lives needs Jesus? Who in our lives has God put us either in their life or put them in our lives in order to bring them to Jesus. Share with others to encourage yourself, to get together and pray. It's not something that we just have to do by ourselves. We can keep each other accountable and encourage each other when it gets hard. Be there with each other and help each other. The third thing that I see in this is that they see the possibilities and they don't let the barriers stop them. Often when we're inviting people to church or sharing our faith, the first barrier that comes up, we can kind of, But when we're moved with compassion, when we understand why we're sharing our faith, when we've experienced God in our own lives, when we're sharing that burden and working together, then we continue to see the possibilities of what this person's life is going to be like with Jesus. And that forces us to overcome those barriers. It was impossible for them to get in this room, so they came up with a great idea. Let's dig a hole in the roof. Like, that's thinking differently. I don't know if the owner was so happy about the hole. But we've got to have this persistence within us to keep going, to keep trying, to not give up, to keep sharing our faith, to keep encouraging people, keep inviting people, keep getting around people and bringing them to Jesus. Because these men must have known that Jesus was the answer for this, for their friend's problem. Jesus was preaching, he was healing the sick, he was casting out demons. These guys would have heard that, they may have seen it, and they came to get their friend and they're like, we got to help this guy. I think if we bring him to Jesus, Jesus could save him. Jesus could heal him. And then he can have the rest of his life not having to beg on a mat, but to be a part of society and help so many other people around him, help his family even. We've got to see the possibilities and not let the hindrances stop us. And the last point, very simply, is we've got to have faith. In all of this, we've got to have faith. We have to have faith to believe that God is who he says he is and who we've experienced him to be. It says here in Mark, as we read, Jesus says, after seeing their faith. We don't know if the guy on the mat actually had any faith in this story, but we know that his friends did. And I love how Jesus makes this point that after seeing their faith, Jesus responds by healing this man and forgiving him of his sins. But how did Jesus see their faith? In their action. We have to have faith, but we've also got to put our faith into action. James 2:20 says that faith without works is dead. And often we can spend so much time praying for people, praying for our friends. And I'm not to say we shouldn't do that. We definitely need to do that. But have you ever thought that maybe you're the answer to your own prayer? Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. I'm so encouraged by this story and this idea of the power of a bringvitation. And want to encourage us all tonight as we are in this Christmas season, that God's placed you in people's lives. And God's placed different people in your life. God's put you in situations for you to shine his light, to be salt and to be light. Is there a conviction within you about who Jesus is and what he's done in your life? And if there is there a need around you that you can see and be moved with compassion to share your faith with those around you, to find people that can encourage you? And you can encourage them to overcome all the obstacles and the barriers and to have faith. Sometimes we can feel like the Christian life is so heavy. We've got to do all these things. We've got to be good enough. We've got to do all this. I see it as an opportunity. What if I talk to this person and they say yes? How awesome would you feel? As a guy, if you've ever asked a girl if they like you and you've told them that, that's a cool feeling when they say yes. But it's, imagine someone opening up their hearts to Jesus and stepping into eternity. That's an incredible feeling, and I want everybody in here to feel that. I want to feel it more. Then we feel like we're actually living out our faith, and it encourages us, encourages those around us. I'll finish with this story very quickly. I had a friend in the UK. I was a pastor in London for 5 years before moving to Canberra. And I was contacted by a friend in another country, in Malaysia, and he spoke to me about a friend of his that was living in London, asked me to reach out to him, said he was from a different faith background and was quite shy but really struggling in his life, gone through a really hard time. And so he sent me his number and asked if I could reach out to him. So as a someone in a church, pastor in a new church, wanting to invite as many people as I can and look for different contacts, I called this guy, invited him to church. He came along to church, sat at the back, hood over his head, didn't interact much. I went up to him afterwards and introduced myself, realized this was the person I'd been communicating with via text, said, hey, do you want to come out for, grab a coffee and get to know each other? He's not interested. Okay, cool. Well, do you want to come to church next week? Yes. So he came back to church next week, and to speed up the story, about 6 weeks in, I'm like, hey, do you want to go for a coffee this week? And he goes, yes. And I was like, yes. So I met up with him for coffee, heard a bit about his story. Very hard heart towards God. Very broken family situation and really struggling with mental health issues and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I just said, hey, you know, I just want to let you know I'm here for you. I'm happy to help and pray for you and just encourage you to keep coming to church. After this meeting, I grabbed a few other guys from church and I was like, hey, there's this new guy who's come. I've just connected with him. I want you to help me get around him and encourage him to keep coming to church and to keep being open to God. So I found three other guys, and basically over the next sort of 6 or 7 months, we reached out to this guy and we'd go out for coffee, do different things, organize different times to do things together. And we became friends with this guy and became part of our church. But he hadn't quite come to the point of making that decision to follow Jesus. And it was quite hard sometimes because he could be very, very rude. I won't say rude, but very harsh sometimes in his criticisms of different things that we were doing as a church and his thoughts on the Bible. But I just kept believing, God, I just think you're after this guy. And I want to be a part of this guy's story. And I want, as a church, us to be able to help him to encounter you. Long story short, we get to a few days before New Year's Eve, a couple days after Christmas, and this guy calls me and he's been drinking and he's on the phone and he's saying that he wants to take his life. And people might not know you, but I've had two brothers who have done that growing up, part of my story. So I have a very soft heart for people who find themselves in that situation and just have a real desire for nobody to ever feel like that's the only option that they have. So I talked to this guy for a couple of hours on the phone after midnight, and I just say, God, I just say, bro, you need Jesus. You need to let go of trying to do this in your own strength and figure everything out, and you need Jesus. This is how I overcame this, and I'm telling you, this is the answer. I prayed for him, and then I tried to contact him for the next few days, didn't hear much from him. Got to New Year's Eve, and we were having a prayer meeting at our house, New Year's Eve. And I got a text message from him saying, hey, can I come to the New Year's Eve prayer thing? And I was like, yeah, for sure, come down. It's going to be great. I text my other friends and I'm like, this guy's coming. We jump on a call together and we're like, well, what are we going to do? We're going to pray for this guy. One of the other guys is like, honestly, this is the night. He's going to make a decision tonight. And so we come together, do our prayer meeting. do fireworks. In London, you're allowed to do fireworks. I'm shooting fireworks out for everything. It's awesome. And then everyone goes home, and there's me and these three other guys and this guy. And we're like, hey bro, how you feeling? And we're talking, and he basically says, guys, I think I need to give my life to Jesus. And we were able to lead him in the Lord, in the sinner's prayer about 2 a.m. on New Year's Day, after about probably 12 to 14 months of reaching out to this guy. And mate, that was an incredible feeling. That was an incredible feeling. Not every story is like that. But we just had this sense that God was after this guy, and we wanted to be part of that solution. We wanted to see him encounter God and be set free. I want to encourage us in our lives now. Who is it in our life that needs Jesus? Who's someone that we need to reach out to? Who are we bringing to Jesus? Christmas is a great time to invite people. And as a church, that's our heart, is to see new people coming in and encountering God and making that decision.